Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Herpes Now, a radio blogcast sponsored by The Respite, a center for grief and hope. My name is Mandy Epley, and I am your host today with my dear friend, partner, and colleague, Cindy Bolero, is the producer of our show today. And we are so excited and so thrilled that we have this amazing, inspiring woman, Casey Baxter Robinson, as our guest this morning. And today we're going to be speaking about step four, the model of heart-centered grief. And so I'm going to be doing, as I always do, an intro to the show, an intro to Casey, and then we're going to begin dialoguing with Casey and learning from her incredible story and really the amazing human being that she is. So I want to make sure, Casey, are you on with me this morning?
Yes, I hope I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, you are. I hear you. Good morning. Welcome, my dear friend. Hello.
Thank you.
Yay. Okay. So I am going to say a few words and then we'll come back and you and I will share together with our listeners. So again, Casey, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what I want you all to know is that Krista Adi and I, my dear friend and colleague, who I actually was able to interview last radio session, had an incredible and dynamic conversation about step three initiation. And I encourage you all to download that from the Respite website at therespite.org. Chris and I co-created and co-authored the 7 Steps of Grief and Hope. And I had this idea that it would be incredibly helpful and encouraging and inspiring and put, you know, the meat on the bones of the model, if you will, to make it live and in action by hearing people's life stories and hearing their journeys and really be able to understand how can I apply these really powerful ideas and tools when I'm moving through my own journey of change or loss or hope. What I want to tell you, these steps are not just for a tragedy in your life. They're not just for a death. And when we do experience a tremendous loss in our life, whether it's a job change, whether a marriage or an important relationship or friendship has ended, or if someone has died that you love or care about or just even know and it's impacted you greatly, we designed these steps to help empower you, because so often when we experience a great loss, we don't know what to do. We don't have much of a roadmap in our culture around grief. In fact, as you've heard me say often, we're really taught to pretend like we're not hurting or grieving at all. And that's incredibly isolating, and I think, to me, that's just an insane injustice around what it means to be a human being. So I'm very excited that my good friend, even my soul sister, Casey, said yes, that she would be willing to share with us today. And I want to tell you all a few things about Casey. So I met Casey in 1999, and we were a part, we still are, of this very incredible leadership community, and where we have all studied these very powerful ideas of authenticity, intentionality, peace, justice, solidarity. We studied archetypes, and our whole purpose was to empower ourselves in our own leadership. And there's each of us would have so much to say about what that journey's been like. Casey and I, as well as others within this dear circle of people, have had a very powerful connection. And what continues to inspire me about Casey is that Casey is a true advocate for her own spirit. Her commitment to authenticity and to discovering who she really is in a culture that really says, you know, we really need to fit in a box and be one way and one way only, is very isolating and suffocating for people. And Casey's journey has taken her to this place of this huge commitment to her own spirit, which I think will be incredibly inspiring for you all to hear, because we all know that we want deep meaning in our lives. And quite honestly, we all want to live free. We want to be free to be who we truly are. And Casey has a powerful loss story as well, that and many losses, and one profound loss that I'm sure we'll speak about today. Casey is a spiritual coach, and the way that she describes it so beautifully is that she's a fire stoker of the heart. So the people that work with Casey, she helps them to get very clear about their calling and about their own authentic journey and where they're being led in service to the world. So welcome, my friend.
Thank you so much. Those are beautiful words. Thank you.
You're so welcome, and they're so all you, my dear friend. So I also want to say thank you for sharing with us today, because I know you are, we've spoken about this, you know, an introverted soul, you know, and a woman that finds incredible, you know, blessings and gifts and solitude. So I really want to say thank you for, you know, coming up out of the deep of the ocean and, you know, sharing with us today. So,
it's worth it to me to just try to offer and reach out to others who might be struggling, and I really, that's, you know, others doing that in my life, you know, helped save my life, and I really want to do that. So thank you so much for creating this amazing sacred space.
Yes, thank you. So Casey, I'm going to open up with a question that I ask everyone that joins us on Hope Is Now. And whatever you want to share with our listeners today, I know will touch them and encourage them in their own journeys. So the question that I want to ask is, if you would share with our listeners your story of great heartbreak and how your heartbreak led you into your calling. So know that you can share about your heartbreak, and then I'll lead you back around to speaking about how that led you into your calling, my dear friend.
Okay. Well, my greatest heartbreak, or one of the, you know, greatest heartbreaks, you know, came, and it was really, it wasn't just a moment, but it was really you know, just an awareness as I came into adulthood over time of experiencing that who I was and how I was naturally and how I was created, how I was born, that there were, you know, big parts of that that were not accepted, were not wanted, were not seen as valid or as, you know, really the best way to be. And you know, I experienced some of that from my family, those messages from my family, some, you know, in school, from teachers, from peers, from out into the larger community, and just kind of messages coming from society that, you know, were saying, you really, you know, how you are naturally, you know, really has just some problems, and you really need to try and be, you know, this way instead.
I want to interject for 1 second.
Yes.
My dear friend, that language that you said, I mean, the language of how you are naturally is not okay, and you need or ought to be this way instead. I mean, that turns flips in my stomach, because I know that all of our listeners and people that will download this in the future have been sent those messages. And why it was so important to me to interview you around your story and to speak about Paradox is because you really have committed your life to incredible measure and a lot of loss and a high price to claim who you are naturally. And, you know, one of the great gifts that you bring is that within this leadership community where there are so many incredible leaders who are doing incredible things, you, Casey, stand as one of the leaders within the leaders as this ferocious commitment to who you naturally are, which keeps all of us on our toes. Are we being who we naturally are in a world that, you know, is continually saying be someone else?
Yeah, thank you. Yes. And I really, you know, I had my own sense of, you know, oppression, but I also was very aware that, you know, I was not alone in receiving those messages, and that, you know, that it was happening, you know, all around me, that my, you know, my friends or other people in school with me, or even my family members, my parents, were all victims of receiving these messages and all suffering from that, you know, that stress of feeling that they could not be who they were authentically. And I was very aware or sensitive to the incredible pain that was bringing to individuals, but also what it was creating in the world. It would be happening with, you know, other certain communities that were not the mainstream communities, being told as a whole community that you need to be different, how you are, you know, your culture or your way of being or your style or as a group is not okay and needs to change and be different. And I really, you know, or I had friends that were, were gay or that were poor you know, seeing what the ravages that those messages were doing to individuals and to our world. And it shattered my heart, you know, over those years as I was coming out of childhood, you know, into society, into the systems of, you know, education or politics or whatever, and seeing that, and it shattered my heart, and it began me on a journey to, you know, I'm not so much a warrior spirit, but I am a fighter.
Yes.
And you know, and that was kind of the beginning of, you know, hearing my calling. And it took many more years to, I mean, it was many, many years until my 30s, my mid-30s, when I was really finally able to name my calling and you know, and feel like, yes, this, I can be this, even though there is no, you know, there's no want ads, you know, in the jobs listings for for what I, you know, was what my calling was. But I was able, with so much support from our circle and, you know, and other pioneers of authenticity, to, you know, to finally build the strength to say, this is who I am. This is what I'm called to do.
Yes, yes. I want to just, oh my gosh, I want to, for our listeners, I want to highlight some of the words that you've said, is that it was a long journey. It took many years. It's not easy, friends, in this culture. And we're having this sharing and this dialogue today to encourage you, to support you, you know, to put our arms of solidarity around you, to say, despite all of the things that happen in our lives, we all also have this inner life and this spiritual journey of discovery of the authenticity of who we truly are in our own idiosyncratic nature. And we do live in a world that there's a lot of pressure around how, you know, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And there are subtle messages continually. Children experience it so much as they grow into adolescence, and then as we transition into our 20s and into adulthood, around, you know, this is the way if you want to be successful, or this is the way if you really want to be a contributing citizen to society. And what I admire about you so deeply, and you know, gosh, just, you know, you are always a beacon in my mind, you know, a lighthouse of, okay, you know, those choices, whatever they may be, are so worth it to have that experience of knowing oneself and experiencing the beauty and the joy that comes out of using our own gifts, even when they don't fit in the container of what we're told is acceptable. So the wording you use is a pioneer of authenticity, and we know our dear, dear friend and colleague, Chris Saadi, certainly has been a master teacher and is a master teacher. I just want to give a shout-out to Chris, and I know you do too, around being this pioneer of authenticity, which we're so grateful for, I know. So, Casey, my dear friend, you know, I love what you said, and it's there's humor in it, but it's also been deeply painful, you know, because when we met, you know, I was in my, you know, I had just turned 30, you know, so we had watched each other, and I was watching you go through this pain of like, there is not a want ad for what I want to bring to the world. And that's what we want to say to you, friend, is to listen to your inner voice internally, and that there are people like, you know, Casey, who can coach you and bring you along and, you know, help you discover your own authentic voice, and that it does not have to look like anyone else's, because it's yours and it belongs to you.
Yes, one of a kind. We are all one of a kind gems.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So for you, Casey, I wanted to give you a chance to speak about, so this, you know, this great heartbreak led you into your calling, to speak, you know, a few words about your own, that connection there, your own calling.
You mean in terms of, like, what my calling is?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, I call myself a soul fire stoker, as you had, mentioned in the introduction. And, what is that? I stoke the fires of people's souls.
Yes,
but,
you do.
That is my poetic name for my calling. But I really, what gives my life meaning is really trying to help others discover and free their natural way of being in the world, who they were created, the one and only, gem of the universe that they were created to be, and that is totally irreplaceable, and that if it's not lived by that individual, it will not exist in the world.
Yeah.
So to help people discover that amazing uniqueness, which of course is a lifetime process, but we can discover a lot, like when we are discovering the world, we can discover a lot over time, and then that's half the battle, and then the other half is freeing that uniqueness, and which is often very, very challenging, because the way we are set up in our society is not so much a model that is set up to embrace 8 billion different diversities and uniquenesses, that's a whole another. let me pull myself back from flying off direction.
Yeah,
other country. But freeing it from the shackles of shame that we may have experienced, and or just the voices or the that say, this you can't do this, you can't be this way, is the right way to be. And so, helping to free and then helping others, because I believe my position is that we're here on the earth to enjoy being alive and to experience this amazing earth and humanity, but that we are also here to show up. And there is a lot of oppression in the world. There is a lot of injustice. There are a lot of immense crises that we are facing, and on our planet and in our communities. And we were created to respond and to fight for justice, to fight for inclusion, to bring love and compassion, and to build peace. And that we were designed for that. That as long as this oppression is going on in the world, that we each have something very precious and unique to bring to that fight. And
Wow.
That's my
Wow, wow, wow. You all hear these words, inspiring words from this woman who has committed her life to service through her own authentic gifts. And really what you're, you know, what you're saying about your calling to me, you are in the trenches. I mean, it's how I see the work that we do at the Respite, is that we're freeing people into their service, empowering people into their service. And you are bringing such important work through the coaching sessions that you do with people to help them discover their authentic voice for the purpose of service and giving back to this, you know, to this incredible planet and to the needs that are there, you know, animals, humanity, the environment, on and on and on. So I want to say thank you for the work that you're doing, and thank you for being a human being that, you know, chose to stay in the trenches, you know, of your own journey to discover your calling, to help people, you know, free their own voice, to discover who they are naturally, and to help people give themselves permission, regardless of the voices that are, you know, out there saying otherwise. Yeah. So on behalf of humanity, I say thank you, my friend.
You are so welcome.
Yes,
thank
yes.
you, my friend.
yes, ma'am. So what I'm going to do, friends, is I'm going to introduce, introduce step four of the model of paradox, and then Casey and I will be speaking some more around, you know, profound loss in her journey and how paradox has been so, you know, gosh, life-saving and helpful for Casey's life and really for you. That's why I want you to hear her story, is to be able to make sense of, you know, when Chris and I are teaching about paradox, the fourth step of the model of heart-centered grief, what are we talking about? So we're talking about both and. It's learning to view life from the beauty in life and the loss in life. It's learning to feel your excitement, your happiness, your peace, while you are also feeling your anger, your sadness, your anxiety. If you view step four of the model, Chris and I do, it's a 35 to 45 minute session where we're teaching you in depth about the whole idea of holding balance, and we call it like imagining the wings of a hawk spread wide, that you've got both wings in your life to support you, and that when something hurtful, sad, disappointing, or devastating happens in your life, that learning these ideas can help you experience balance in your life. It helps you not spiral down into despair. So, Casey, let's speak about whatever you want to share about your story, and then we'll talk about how these ideas of paradox have supported you and helped you in your own journey.
Thank you, yes. I mean, in November of 2008, I lost my husband, Kevin, totally unexpectedly. And we had been together for 8 years, almost 8 years, and we had, you know, really worked and struggled and to, you know, to build our love and to build our relationship. And it wasn't easy. We were both very strong-willed, independent people. And we had a lot of diversity between us. I mean, we shared, you know, many common values, and but we, our way of being in the world and going through the world, in a lot of places, we were just very opposite. And Kevin and I, you know, finally decided we would get married. And that was in October. And after we had been together almost 8 years, we were married, and Kevin died 2 weeks later. And that experience totally annihilated me.
Yes.
And I really experienced annihilation. And so, I mean, that, if you want to just.
Yeah, I want to give some more.
You know, guide
more,
me.
About. Yes. So what I want to share with you, friends, is that Casey and Kevin individually and as a couple, we're just incredibly loved and have, you know, had a very large community. And it sent shockwaves through anyone who knew the two of you. We had all beautiful farm for your wedding ceremony in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And then, you know, within 3 weeks, we're back there at his memorial service. And what I'll say is that, you know, Kevin's many events in my own life, and this perfect storm that was brewing already, many losses and incredible experiences that I was having, and then Kevin suddenly dying also too, just, you know, it's like shot me to another universe, like out of a cannon, and really had a huge, a direct relationship to, and I've said it many times, that, you know, I thought I was playing big in the world. Little did I know, you know, it was like, wait a minute. If Kevin goes to sleep and doesn't wake up, no more playing small, no more. And then watching you being so close to you, how you moved through your grief journey, side of you, watching you be shattered, and then how you moved through your grief with such dignity and beauty and in such a raw way. So much of that, impacted me more than I, you know, really have time to speak about today, but impacted me and really infused every cell and has so much to do with, and it's another huge piece of, you know, this tenacity within me of people have the right to have beautiful support and the right to do their grief journey in a way that brings them great dignity. I mean, so much of the model, it's all been informed and has been born out of all that we've experienced. And, you know, and losing Kevin in the abrupt way and watching your heartbreak. So Casey, let's speak about how with that, you know, you felt completely blown apart. I mean, you were already in your calling. I mean, here you are in your, you know, leadership, you're in your calling, you're serving your beloved. Suddenly, shockingly, you know, completely unexpectedly dies. So let's speak about how that idea of paradox, how did it support you in those very dark hours?
Um, I mean, I want to, one thing that I want to say is that, you know, I was, you know, had been kind of trained in studying this model, you know, and the idea of paradox for many years before Kevin's death. And I mean, I was so fortunate. I mean, that it was such a privilege to have these ideas in my mind and heart and soul, you know, that they were a part of me when I, through this annihilation, so fortunate and am so sad that there are so many of us that do not have that privilege. And and I'm so grateful for what you are doing, Mandy, to try to make these ideas available, you know, to as many people as possible. That is such an incredible gift and important work.
Thank you.
And so, you know, the reality was that in, you know, probably because of, you know, that the idea of paradox was already a part of me, that even in the very first moments of, you know, I came home from being out of town and had spoken to Kevin the night before, and we were so looking forward to seeing each other when I came home the next day. And, you know, and really it was really beginning because it was just 2 weeks after we had been married. And I was kind of coming home to begin our new lives together. And I walked in the front door, and Kevin, it was around, you know, it was in the afternoon, and Kevin was in our bed, and I was, you know, I was like, oh my, he must be taking a nap. And and I, you know, walked to him. I didn't want to scare him, you know, like startle him.
Right.
And immediately realized that he was dead, and that you know, that was the annihilation. That and of course I was in total shock and total blown to pieces and out of my mind, out of my body. And also, in those very first moments of realizing Kevin's body was dead, that I also heard a voice that said, "You are free now."
And
you know, and I didn't think I was going to share this, but you've created such a deep space for us and for me. You know, and it was because it's not an easy thing to understand. And it wasn't like Kevin's death meant like, oh, I'm free from Kevin.
Right.
Oh yeah, you know, you don't have to be married after all.
No, not if that was not it at all.
But there was a deep knowing in me, even in my total insane annihilation, a deep knowing in me that there was the other side to this pain, yeah. that there was also yeah. liberation, and that I knew deeply in me, even in those first moments, that this death was, as it was shattering me and blowing my life up, my life as I yeah. knew it, totally yeah. burning it to the ground, yes. it also was burning down and blowing up the shackles and the whatever lingering or current oppression or shame or sense of holding back my own truth or my own heart or my own passion. I knew that something of this magnitude was just going to blow that shit out of my out of my life, and that there was in huge liberation abound in that destruction. And I found, I don't know, weeks or months later, came across a little card that said, "Barns burnt down, now I can see the moon." So it was, even in those first moments, the paradox of the incredible loss of the barn being burnt down and the devastation of that, and simultaneously feeling and knowing and being in touch with that brought the gift of the open sky and the moonlight being visible in a way that it wasn't when the barn was there. So that, I want to say that. And then there were many, many days, moments, days, weeks, months, years, where I struggled with incredible despair, outrage, hatred. I screamed the words, "I hate you, God.
Yeah.
I want him back." And moments where I just wanted to die. So the idea of paradox, as I lived it, and it could not, there, I guess I, what I want to say about it, which is, because we speak about paradox as being a pathway to balance. And which is very true. And in my experience, that balance moves, and it it is not a place of being kind of a middle ground, where it's the average between my intense grief and my intense, joy or peace, that it's not a balance. It's about spreading those wings of the feeling, the capacity to feel the fullness of life and the fullness of our experiences, and to feel them intensely. And Kevin, the magnitude of Kevin's death definitely had me flying, where I was leaning on that one wing, where that one wing was of my grief and my outrage and my anguish, was spread out to the edge of the earth, and my wing of joy and peace, was struggling to open.
Yeah.
At times through that. And so I just, I wanted to just give mm-hmm. that, like, even for someone like me who had studied and trained and learned these ideas, you know, for so many years, that, you know, that it's not like I was able to be in immediately, you know, fully feeling both sides. And it was a fight. It was a fight to, and a process. And I needed so much support and help to reopen my wing of joy and peace.
Yeah.
And that being said, on the other hand, paradoxically, I also, you know, I know that I was accessing that other side, and I was feeling my joy and my peace and my happiness and laughter and humor in that annihilation moments of
you
that.
Are.
Otherwise, I would not be here to be speaking to you today, because
you wouldn't
have a total loss of that really is we can't live long. We cannot live for long without both sides. And so I'm more to say, but just you lead me. You lead me.
Well, yes, I want to say that I want to say that, you know, it takes great courage, friends, to, you know, have the audacity to look for what are the gifts within a huge loss, even the death of a beloved husband. And in those moments of realizing, I mean, what you're saying, Casey, is that with a loss of that magnitude, and in such a shocking, surprising, unexpected way, that it gave you, you know, it was just like, this is, you know, it was so extreme. It's like it gave you internally to, like you were saying, say like, okay, whatever was remaining in me, you know, any shame that was left, any places I was holding back and not allowing myself to live naturally, hit the road, Jack. Like,
right.
If I'm going to experience the death of my beloved, I'm going to come home and find him. Holy mackerel. And Cindy's happy I didn't cuss right now, because I usually do. Holy mackerel. You know, I am going to free my spirit. If I'm going to lose him, I'm going to, that's it, you know.
Right,
and you're
right.
Speaking very beautifully, friends, you know, that, you know, to look for the gifts within your wounds, in your disappointments, in your huge suffering, and to be patient with yourself that, you know, we're not talking about, you know, an artificial sugar coating, you know, sweet tea kind of thing. We're talking about, in order to find hope, to be able to hear the wisdom that your spirit is bringing you when you experience great loss, that you do need the other side, and you have the right to the other side, and to give yourself permission to also have a moment or two or ten of joy. And as Casey was saying, she needed a lot of support to bring that wing up fully. And that the truth was, while she was experiencing some of the, you know, it was experiencing downright shock and utter despair, she knows there were moments of the other side of excitement and peace and happiness, or she wouldn't be here. And so, you know, I want to encourage, you know, all of you that are interested to really, you know, download the model. You can stream it at therespite.org for as little as $10. All seven steps, we've made it available. We want anyone and everyone who has access to the internet to be able to learn these ideas and to access them, to have patience with yourself while you're experiencing a change in your life. It does not just, you know, it doesn't have to just be a tragedy. It can be a change, or it can be that you're wanting to grow as a person. These steps will help you. So, Casey, we've got 10 minutes left. So I know there was something else you want to say, and then there's a final question I want to bring to you this morning.
Okay. Are you going to ask me about just my, just what I would wish or share with someone going through a loss?
Yes, yes, yep.
Okay.
I am. So go right ahead. Perfect.
To reach out, I mean, to any of you who are suffering and struggling, I just have a few things that I want to offer and wish for you. One is, as we, you know, and Mandy, you've spoken earlier, that, you know, knowing that, being aware that our culture is a, you know, really exiles pain and grief and does not provide space for that, and I want to give my empathy and my sadness and anger that is the reality that we are living in right now, but to just know that it's not you, it's not something wrong with you, that we don't have more spaces where our grief can be held and honored and with dignity and with support and with realness. I so often felt that I had to choose between being with people or being in community, you know, in the community. I mean, I'm not speaking about my heart community. I mean, I was so fortunate to have a heart community that could hold and support me and honor my grief and my process. But in the larger community and society, I often felt that I had to choose either to be in the world, I had to put away my wound, my grief, and, you know, put on my mask of, I'm good, how are you? I'm great. Or to be with my grief and the truth, the reality of where I was, my pain meant having to be alone and withdraw from the world. And that is not an okay choice for us as human beings to have to make. And I really just, I give my incredible empathy to, because really that pain was in many ways worse than the pain of losing women. That was the pain that was killing me. That was taking my life.
You know, Casey, you're just inspiring me. That's a whole other show that we can dialogue about in the future.
Yeah.
Is around the isolation. I speak about that a lot, and the words you're bringing are so important for our listeners. You know, for you to say you're sending out your empathy, you're claiming your sorrow and your righteous anger on behalf of any isolation that any of us experience when we're grieving. And you know, my friend, as you know, that's one of the things that my spirit is so fiery about.
Yes.
How much I want us, you know, in our culture to have permission as other, you know, cultures do on our planet, that, you know, grieving is a full ride of our journey. It's a full, sacred,
yes,
beautiful, dignified piece of who we are. And
yes,
and really, again, through watching you and watching our dear friend Tammy, you know,
yes,
watching the two of you up close and personally, and my incredible heroic clients,
right,
you know, it was like, and my own story and how isolated I have felt at times in my own suffering. It was, you know, I'm just so grateful to Elizabeth and to Cindy that we have a building. We've created, you know, a little space,
yes,
you know,
yes,
in the conservative South in good old Charlotte, North Carolina. There's a literal building, and there's a, you know, we are one of many spaces on the web. There are a lot of incredible people doing grief work out there, and I want to honor all of them in solidarity with them that, you know, and thank you for encouraging our listeners in that way, that they're not doing, you, my friend, are not doing anything wrong for experiencing
right,
every ounce of your grief. You have a right to it. It is a part, as is your joy, a part of your birthright that is carving you into the beautiful you. You know, you know, our good friend Maritza quotes Dr. Seuss a lot around being, you know, you or you, you know, being
yes,
more
yes,
of you. And that both our grief and our joy bring that to us. So
yes,
thank you
yes,
for that. And I just want to, we have just a couple minutes left. Casey, and just a couple sentences, what right now in your life is really bringing you a lot of joy? What's really bringing you a lot of joy right now in your life?
I love that question. Let's see. I have to pick.
Oh, well, that's a good problem to have. Even that is inspiring people, Casey, after what you've gone through, my friend. That's a beautiful example of paradox right there.
Well, how many minutes do we have? One
yeah,
minute,
like it's probably like 30 seconds or less.
That is something that I want to, you know, testify to, is that my willingness and ability and the support that I had to feel the immense grief, it invites, it is like a I forget what you call it, but it's like it automatically
yes,
is going to happen. It's a guarantee
yeah,
that we will then, it opens the door and the space to experience an equal amount of joy and
yes,
peace.
Yes.
And I mean,
well,
know that when
yes,
you are,
that's awesome,
that all the grief and pain and anguish that we experience, to which we
it's
feel that,
more,
it makes the space
yeah,
to feel greater, deeper joy. And
well, friend, guess
yes,
what?
Yes.
You and I are at the end. We we
imagine,
need to close.
Imagine.
I know. Imagine. So more shows have spun out of this in my mind.
Good.
We want to just encourage you to check out therespite.org. Please share this with your friends. Send it out.
you know, help this spread, to encourage people. We thank you so much. We hope you have an incredible day. And thank you, Casey. So much love to you for your wisdom and your words and your generosity in sharing with us today. Much love
thank
to
you,
all. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Bye.